Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 383 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyree, your host once again. First off, an apology to all of you. We did not have an episode go live over the Labor Day weekend this past weekend. Frankly, I'm dealing with a health challenge that has kind of come to a head. And so I really didn't have the time or the energy to devote to a podcast last week. And so for the very first time in, 7 years or so, we just simply didn't have an episode. So I apologize for that, and hopefully that we can get some things resolved here and that doesn't happen again. But in the meantime, I wanted to step back into the archives again to listen to an episode that originally aired in May of 2019. And this episode is with my friend Daya Nave. Now, Daya is a coach, law firm coach, who's based out of the Washington, D.C. area here near me. Although I will tell you, she does an awful lot of traveling. And her name team popped up in my head the other day because I follow her on Facebook, and she posted a post that showed her a picture of her holding a gigantic bag of organic mushroom instant coffee. Now, I live in a vegan household, and that is a staple in our household. I'm not necessarily vegan. My wife is the health-conscious person. So I just was kind of drawn to that photo of Daya, and I said, hey, you know what? We haven't spoken to her. I'm going to try and get her to come back on the podcast and get an update here the next couple, 3 weeks or so. But in the meantime, I thought we'd go back into the archive, as I said, and listen to what was originally aired as episode 162, so some 220 episodes ago. And I think you'll enjoy this because Daya brings a really refreshing perspective to the business of law firm coaching. And so without any further delay, here once again is Daya Nave.
Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 162 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyree, your host once again. And today my guest is Daya Nave. Daya is an attorney and legal coach here in the Washington, D.C. area by way of New Orleans. And we have an opportunity to talk with Daya about her role as the owner and developer of a coaching program called Success Partner in the legal space, in which she provides direct coaching to those who are transitioning in the law, either their practice form or their practice area. And she brings kind of a unique perspective, I think, to the coaching perspective, in that she comes from big law, or fairly big law, directly to the coaching experience. And so that gives her kind of a different view than perhaps some of the other coaches that we've had on in the past. But nonetheless, I think this is a really interesting conversation, and I hope that you enjoy listening to Daya Nave as much as I did talking to her. Daya Nave, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Hi, Neil. Glad to be here.
Well, I am thrilled that you're able to join me today. Daya, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Oh, great. I'd love to. I'm Daya Nafe, like you said, and I run The Success Partner. It is a coaching firm for attorneys, and I practiced law for 16 years in New Orleans, Louisiana, before embarking on coaching as a profession. I specialized in construction, mainly, a lot of that there on the Gulf Coast, and started actually my intro into coaching back in 2012, but relaunched my practice with coaching with lawyers specifically last February.
Okay, so where did you go to law school?
I went to Loyola University in New Orleans.
Oh, down there, right in the heart of the city.
Yes.
And you said you're in the construction element of law, construction law. Is that mainly building construction, or I know there's a lot of offshore construction that's done out of New Orleans as well.
Right. It was land-based construction.
Okay. Yeah. And was law something that you always knew you wanted to pursue, or how did you come to attend Loyola in the first place?
I really liked Loyola's international program. I like to travel. I grew up traveling with my family, and they were also in the construction industry. So that kind of led into the practice of construction law later on.
Yep. And when you went out of law school to work at a firm, it was a boutique firm, large firm, big law. What was the environment like for you?
Yeah, actually, my very first job out of law school, I was a contractor for the Army, and I did environmental compliance for my first job, my starter job out of law school.
Mm-hmm.
And then later got into doing construction, actually rehabbing houses there in New Orleans. And then my very next legal job was general counsel for a municipal contractor.
Interesting.
Yeah,
those experiences.
It was right after Katrina. Sure. The demand was high for someone with construction experience and the law background.
Absolutely. And so then how long did you stay in the practice of law?
Oh, up until last year.
Okay. And what made you decide to shift gears?
Basically, I was looking for a higher altitude. Working in the practice, watching what my contemporaries were going through, both in big law and as individuals, I kind of started off helping out the fellow solopreneurs. That's, you know, how I met you. Uh-huh. And just kind of working under that umbrella, and then expanding as I started growing my practice, my coaching practice, started looking at people who were in big law, people who were in corporate, and then now I'm in the DC area, so also people who are transitioning in and out of government.
Yeah, so what brought you to DC?
The client base, actually, the market here for working specifically with attorneys is very prevalent, and you can get a lot of feedback instantly on the trends in law. Law and law firm management here is, I'm finding, very different than where I grew up practicing in the South. The firms are mega firms. I don't even think you can call them big law anymore. They're like mega firms. Small firms are what we would call big firms in the South. And so the dynamics are just excitingly different.
Yeah. Well, we certainly do have a lot of that here in the Washington, D.C. area. I mean, I think we span the whole gamut from international mega firms, as you say, all the way down to, you know, the solo practitioner. I think it's one of the interesting aspects and dynamics of the legal profession here in the DC area is because you do have such a diverse clientele in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
So what drew you to coaching then?
That's a great question. The need, also experiencing it in my life. I had a personal use of a coach, sort of transitioning from my general practice job into the small firm I was working with in New Orleans. There was a gap time for me when I was recovering from a car accident. Mm-hmm. And that gave me some time to kind of ponder where I was going with my career. And I enlisted the help of a coach. And that was, gosh, almost 10 years ago now. So it wasn't exactly as, shall we say, the tip of the tongue mm-hmm. as coaching is now or is getting there. And just working with her gave me a lot of insight and a lot of revelation on options for developing my career and developing my work-life balance. And it was something that was really, really interesting to me.
And what attracts you to coaching? What aspect of coaching, particularly attorneys, excites you, gets your juices going?
Finding people that want to either reignite their passion where they are or explore an outside passion. The law can be quite a draining profession. And to have people that either want to make a tweak in their career, like specializing in a practice area, or those brave souls who start out on their own and they decide they want to leave a law firm and start their own law firm because they have a passion for that. It's when that moment happens where they see that possibility and they want to breathe life into that possibility. That is really like the magic moment in coaching.
You know, there's a lot of different aspects of the coaching space that I think come into play, particularly for attorneys. I mean, we have some coaches that we've had on the program here who focus on the nuts and bolts of growing a practice, systematizing your processes, managing staff, dealing with budgets, and just the whole, you know, mechanics of developing a firm. And then we have other coaches that deal with, you know, the mental aspect of how you deal with work-life balance and integrating children and family into your workspace and dealing with the pressures of the job. And is there a particular side of that fence or facet of that gemstone that you find most attractive to yourself and to your clients? Or do you deal with all of those?
Yes, I'm more integrative. So I do deal with all of those. My practice is ontological as well as facilitative. Facilitative.
I got to admit, I have no idea what any of those words mean.
Yep, I'm going to get there.
Okay.
Okay. So facilitative might actually not be a word, but basically it's the facilitation of, that's kind of what you were talking about with the first brand of coaches that you started with. People who are interested in supporting the nuts and bolts. They have the practice experience. So that would be kind of advisory and coaching around certain aspects of putting the practice into place. And then ontological is actually the study of being. So it's who you're being and how you are being in relation to your practice, your family, the world around you, your community. So both of those things together are my practice.
Support for today's episode comes from Ruby, the number one client communication solution for growing legal practices. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Ruby creates exceptional experiences for your callers and website visitors. They take messages, screen and transfer callers, schedule appointments, perform new client intake, confirm details with outbound calls, and can answer in English and Spanish, and a whole lot more. Just like an in-house receptionist, only better, because they turn every ring into a relationship. Ruby can work full-time, part-time, or as a backup, and you can change your instructions anytime with their top-rated mobile app and online dashboard. Plus, Ruby integrates with tools such as Clio, Lexaclara, MyCase, and Rocket Matter. It all adds up to more opportunities and more time saved. In fact, 90% of legal professionals who use Ruby capture more billable hours than the national average, with many recording double or more. That's 5 or more billable hours per day. To experience the Ruby difference for yourself, visit get.ruby.com/ELE. That's get.ruby.com/TELE.
TLE, as in the Law Entrepreneur, for up to $150 off your first month. Imagine you, powered by Ruby. As a law firm owner, you take responsibility for driving more revenue for your firm. But how much of that revenue ends up as bottom line profit? Ryan Kimmler, the net profit CFO, helps law firms drive more top line revenue to bottom line profit. His two game-changing tools are the scorecard, so you can actually know what your numbers are and can make informed decisions, and the action plan, so you know how to get your numbers where you want them to be and drive more net profit. To learn more about Ryan, check out episode 306 of The Law Entrepreneur, and you can get a free profit acceleration call by going to go.oncehub.com/profit. I will also tell you, just as an aside, I am a client of Ryan's. I've been working with him for the past 6 months. Frankly, ever since he did that episode with me, I signed on with him to be a client. And I've been thrilled with the kind of information and insight he's been able to give me. So do yourself a favor, you know, get that free call and check out Ryan Kimmler at netprofit.com.
Who's the ideal then client for your coaching services? Or is there an ideal client?
There is. There is an ideal client. The main thing is being coachable, being able and willing to invest the time in seeing something through and not get caught up in one story of saying they don't have time, saying they've got a deadline, saying that they're going to continuously canceling appointments or continually saying that they're changing their vision for their life after it's something that was developed and making goals and making inroads for, and then for some reason or another, they get off track and then they don't want to get back on it. But for an example, for by way of example client, I'm working with someone who left a very long big law practice of 25 years and actually opened a boutique appellate practice. So she's concentrating on developing clients just writing appeals. So that was a great success win for her. So we're working on getting the business off the ground, as well as all the support that goes into becoming the possibility of something completely different from where you've been the rest of your career.
Is there an aspect of that you feel that you have a superpower developed in? I mean, are you strong in branding or strong in technology or strong in messaging? Is there something in particular that you feel connected with that supports this process?
I think it's more of the holding space and the intuition with active listening with people, more of the allowing them to be their own possibility. And of course, supporting and accountability on putting stuff into place, but that's where some of our other gurus would be enlisted to help with brand, like you said, branding and marketing. I certainly have my go-tos, as you do, to get people in touch with on that side.
Yeah. So to that end, you partner with other folks to try and provide services to your clients that have a particular need?
Yes, of course.
And how does that manifest itself?
Usually when a need comes up with one of my clients, I usually get them in touch with people. I do either an email introduction or a three-way call to get them on the same page, speaking the same language for when a client needs something that they are proficient at.
And what's the format of the coaching experience with Success Partners? How does it present itself?
The logistics of it?
Yeah.
Okay. We meet by video conference, usually Zoom or Skype, for an hour every week. And it goes usually on a month-to-month basis. 3 to 6 months is the usual starting term, depending upon the goals that the client outlines in the first couple of meetings.
Okay. And do you offer other services other than the weekly meetings? Or are you planning on developing some other products in the Success Partners space?
Yes, actually, working on some speaking materials. I've partnered with a couple of consultants here locally. We're going to work on some products around attorney retention in firms. I get a lot of referrals from recruiters who have people calling them, and the people aren't necessarily ready to leave. There's just a work environment or a practice area that they're not pleased with. So they can send them over to the Success Partner for a few months, and they're either happier and more directed at the firm or business that they're at now, or they're more ready and more committed to having the recruiter place them. So that's been a great win-win situation. And I'm getting that out there by doing trainings and outreach pieces that are putting together on that.
Oh, that's interesting. As a referral source, you know, recruiters are somebody that takes advantage of your services to help with clients that they have, your mutual clients, really. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. What's the biggest obstacle that you find clients present in terms of not being able to take advantage of your resources?
The biggest objection I have is the time. Attorneys generally can afford coaching, so that's not an objection that I get, but the time. They don't want to spend, not only do they not want to spend the 4 hours a month on the phone, it's getting them to do the follow-up, checking in, making sure they're still on track. Part of my job is to keep them on track and keep them accountable, and they'll ghost. They'll definitely ghost on me. And again, since the money is not really a big deal, the fact that they've prepaid for the sessions is it's more of the commitment that has to be generated to keep them held in the program.
I know from folks that I've spoken to that sometimes they get into this position where they think they're receptive to the coaching and they want to have the coaching and they think it'll be beneficial. And then when they get into it, they find that it causes them to ask questions of themselves that they're not really prepared to answer, or they don't like the answers. And sometimes for us, and I count myself among those types of people, sometimes it's easier to ignore it than to deal with it. I would suspect that you find that on occasion.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And as a coach, staying sharp, I have to meet with my coach every week as well to keep my stuff going the way it needs to be going, along with my project plans as well. And the way that you have to look at it is, you really have this one life to invest in yourself and be who you're meant to be. So it's not something that, you can put it off. You cannot do it at all. It's perfectly fine. But if you have that desire and that drive to find out more about yourself and operate at a different level, then it's something that needs to be invested in.
So talk about some of the results that people can expect to obtain. What are some of the successes that you've had? How does that translate into real world experiences?
Well, it's hard to do any kind of quantitative success.
Sure.
The benefits that people get out of coaching are personal, usually, but there are some quantifiable things. Like the example I used before, the woman starting her own firm. I've worked with a woman who was out of practice for a while and wanted to design a kind of specialty practice within a practice. She was looking for a specific type of firm to work with a specific type of people doing a specific type of work. And that we worked on for some months, and got that successfully taken care of. People don't realize that there are options even in firm life. A lot of people think that you go work for a firm, it looks a certain way, it operates a certain way, but if you take the time to kind of map out what you want, then there are other options available and options that you can create, really.
Yeah, I think one of the attractions, particularly for solos, and maybe small firm practitioners as well, but primarily solos, to having a coaching experience is it kind of replaces that wise mentor in your firm that you would go to otherwise for direction and inspiration and just to talk things through and plan for. A coach can really provide that kind of experience that you might not otherwise have as a solo out there all by yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, being self-employed, it can be a very lonely operation. And you come up with ideas and you don't have, like you said, someone to bounce them off of. Your peer group may not be your best option because they're looking at what you're talking about through their lens and also their perception of you. Whereas if you're talking to a coach, you have someone whose feedback is direct and mm-hmm. it's not filtered through any type of feelings that your friend or your spouse or your former colleague might have about what you're doing.
Sure. Sure. So along those lines, is there one particular thing or one particular mindset that the client should or could have to make the experience have a greater chance for success?
Oh, absolutely. Curiosity and commitment to the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see how that would be the case. Mm-hmm. What are your plans for Success Partners? Where do you see yourself going in the future?
That's a great question. I'm planning on, over this next year, keeping a balance, but keeping a balance of individual clients as well as working with companies and firms directly. So I'll be growing more of my corporate practice as well as doing more outreach, doing more trainings, more talks, more on-site activities.
Well, terrific. Well, Daya, I think this has been really kind of informative and very inspirational for me to hear about what you have going on here in the Washington area. Tell our audience if they want to follow up with you, how they might get in touch with you going forward.
The website is thesuccesspartner.com. I'm also on LinkedIn, Daya Naif. That's Daya. Last name is Naef, as in Frank. I'd be happy to connect, and if you're in the area, we'll have a coffee. I'm also frequently in New Orleans as well, so Les Bontemps Brûlés, we'll meet up down there as well if you're interested.
Well, I may just go to New Orleans to meet up with you just because that's the perfect excuse, you know?
Right, you have a meeting.
Hey, sorry, I got to go to New Orleans to meet Daya. So, all right. Well, thanks ever so much for taking the time to be with us today. And I appreciate you being on The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you. It was great.
Well, there you have it, boys and girls. Another episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I want to thank our sponsors for this episode. Our good friends at Ruby. I can't say enough about Ruby. As you know, they've been my virtual receptionist for years now. Couldn't be happier with them, and I really urge all of you, if you need a virtual receptionist, that you give Ruby a chance. Also, Net Profit CFO, as I've mentioned before, Ryan Kimler was a guest on the program some time ago. I liked what he had to say so much, I became a client, and then after I became a client, he became a sponsor. So very happy about that arrangement. If you want to take your understanding of your financials in your law firm to that next step beyond just what your bookkeeper gives you back, give Ryan a call at Net Profit CFO. I don't think you'll be disappointed. If you enjoyed this podcast, do me the great favor of leaving a positive rating and review wherever you listen to your podcast.
it really helps with the opportunity for us to get in front of other people. And until next week, I wish you all the best, and we'll see you again here on Law Entrepreneur.